Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
It's fast, physical. It's guys that attack, relentless. They have endurance that can do it for a long period of time. So, and that's pretty easy to see on tape. Not that there's a ton of them everywhere, but those guys stand out because they play with a different mindset.
Ryan Poles talking about the way that he envisions the Bears looking. He's trying to reshape them now as the general manager of this team. I'm Lawrence. I'm here with you until 2 o'clock, and I will make way for Parkins and Spiegel. Are they back? Is Spiegs back from the DR? I hope so. He's got stories, because if you've been following him on Twitter, he had been sharing some of the sights and sounds from the Dominican Republic. So I imagine it will be a lot of fun to hear some of those stories in longer form than what Twitter will allow. The Bears are going to sign Larry Ogunjobi. He's going to play the three technique. They needed someone to do it. He's been healthy a big portion of his career. He has been effective, been one of the – he's a hybrid where he does well against the run, and he gets a lot of pressures for someone that's in the middle. I love it. So far, I really have liked what Ryan Poles has done. And it's hard to turn over a franchise. You walk in the door and you say, okay, where can we make changes, and those changes then have impact immediately? I think the Ogunjobi signing does do that. Someone asked me, though. They said, well, does this mean that they're going for it? Someone texted that in. I'm like, no, he's 27. Like, it's, if this were a 32-year-old Larry Ogunjobi, then you can be like, oh, yeah, they're totally going for it. This is a player who you're guaranteeing a little over $26 million to over the next 4 years. I think that if they end up continuing to do well in free agency, sure, you can start thinking about wild card positions if you want. Why are you making that face, Brandon?
Because normally that's what happens. Like, new GM come in, I'm going to clean house, like a year of kind of rebuild. Because really, NFL only takes a year. See what players I really want. A lot of them probably going to get some one-year deals. And then, boom, that's about it.
That's what I think. That what I think this is let me identify some players that are going to make us better immediately. But when we have the assembly of players, then we can take that next step. That's what this feels like to me. That Ogunjobi is someone who's going to be here as the Bears are improving, and you're hoping to get the last bit of great football out of him in year 2 and 3 of this contract that you have with him. That's what I feel like it says. And I know that whenever a team signs someone, and maybe my opinion on this changes if they're continuing to be aggressive, free agent-wise, if the Bears, like, you hear a flurry of news and it's not, like, one-year vet guys that they're bringing in. This is a really good start. And you have to change the way that your defensive line is comprised anyway. You don't have Khalil Mack anymore. You're going to a different system, a different front. You're going from a base 30 front to a base 40 front. And that means you need different players at different spots. So to me, I dig it. Let's see what else they come up with. Over the weekend, the Bulls, I said that like Fred Huebner, the Bulls beat Cleveland 101-91. And DeRozan did his thing. Vooch had a really nice game. We got word 90 minutes before the game that Zach wasn't going to play. It's funny because when I had Kevin Anderson on Friday, we were talking about his knee, and he's like, oh, you know, I'm not, I think he said 4 out of 10. Like, that's what was his level of worry with Zach's knee. And then he hit me up on Saturday and said, now that's 7. That's 7 out of 10, my worry about Zach's knee. So let's have a short conversation about where Zach is and how we're going to think about and talk about what's going on with his knee. If you are looking at the 2022 season for the Bulls as an opportunity for the Bulls to compete, then what you should want is for Zach to play through whatever discomfort he is having. If you look at the standings and go, well, right now the Bulls are hosting a playoff series. Right now, at this very moment, they're hosting a playoff series. I want the best team that can go out there and compete. And they finally got Caruso back, which I'll get to in a minute. If you think that Zach will then be the centerpiece for what the Bulls do going forward, that might change your mind about how you feel about him playing through it. A big portion of the conversation around the Bulls has been centered around whether Zach was a supermax player first, Conner. And then, well, he's probably not a supermax, but he's a max guy that you're going to give money to. I am concerned that after having 2 days off and playing at home, that Zach was not ready to play on Saturday. We will see what his availability is tonight. The game will be on the score starting at 8:45, and then Chuck and Bill take over the call, and we'll have Bulls versus Sacramento. If he plays tonight, and there's really no reason for him to, if rest is something that you're prescribing him, no reason for him to play. You know why? Because after the Bulls are done with Sacramento, then they get Utah, then they get Phoenix, then they're home against Toronto, and then after that, they're at Milwaukee. So it's possible I have to allow for the idea that what Billy Donovan is doing is picking and choosing. And we knew that this was going to be kind of the deal with Zach anyway, that they were going to have to make some choices about when to play him on back-to-backs. And that all makes sense. Not playing the guy on the second end of a back-to-back or sitting him on the first half of a back-to-back because of opponent makes sense. Like, I'll give you an example. Let's say that the Bulls were playing Sacramento and Milwaukee. Sacramento first and then Milwaukee in the back-to-back. You might sit Zach against Sacramento knowing that you would need him to be someone to have Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday chase around versus Milwaukee. When you have a game and then you have 2 days off and you're playing at home, meaning he was probably around your facility with everything that he needed to rehab and do maintenance on his knee for him to not play, it rang an alarm for me. On Saturday, I was like, that's not good. Again, my feeling is if he wants to keep playing through this, and what I wonder is this just his new reality? Zach's played a lot of minutes, and he's had a significant knee injury already, along with back injury, hand injury that he's been dealing with throughout the season. It might just be this is who he is now. That after all of that time, all of the high flying, all of the minutes that he's accrued on his body, even though he's, 26 years old? It ends up being an old 26. Also, this is an aside. You know I do this on the show from time to time. Is he the Baker Mayfield of the NBA? Here's what I mean. Telegenic, smart, good pitch man. Hadn't won anything. A lot of commercials for a guy that hasn't won anything. Now, I'm not mad at him. Go get your money. But I was watching games that the Bulls weren't playing, and I was like, oh, there's Zach. And there's Zach. How did that happen? It felt very Baker Mayfield-esque. That I'm like, oh, Zach's that dude now. Like, people look at him. He's handsome. He's really good at delivering the lines. He seems to have some fun doing it. But he's out here in these commercials. He is out here in these commercial streets. Good for him. I said I'd talk about Alex Caruso. Let me talk about I know that, everyone feels this way about Alex Caruso, but I love that guy. He makes a difference. Yes, Cleveland was down some players of note, like Jared Allen. But you can tell that they just kind of play better defensively. Weren't the Bulls on a streak of like 22 games where their opponent scored 100 points or more? And you come in, and granted, Cleveland was on the back end of a back-to-back. But Alex Caruso comes out there and plays 29 minutes in the game. There was better communication. They were doing a better job of going over or under screens. I know that we look at Alex Caruso and we immediately go, coach on the floor. But in this case, I think that it's actually warranted. I know that that's the space that we want to put him in because he looks like the coach on the floor, but he's actually doing it. He had a nice game. 4 of 8 shooting, 11 points for him, 4 steals. When they get Lonzo back, when's Lonzo coming back? By the way, when they get Lonzo back, this team could do some things defensively. Folks out here waiting on Patrick Williams. I'm like, why? I don't know anything about Patrick Williams yet. Hopefully he's going to be okay. But yeah, I'm curious on Zach's status tonight. If I were Billy Donovan, and I'm not as handsome, rich, and I don't have a court named after me. Wait, do I? No, I don't. There's no reason to play Zach tonight. Knowing what you have in front of you with Utah and Phoenix, the rest of the week, those games are not back-to-back. They're spread out fairly nicely for the Bulls, which is good. I think it's game today, game Wednesday, game Friday. I think that's how it works out. But there's no reason for Zach to get minutes tonight if the knee is still an issue. If maintenance of his knee is something that the Bulls are doing, you don't have to get him out there. He's already made the All-Star team this season. You trying to save all those bullets for games against Milwaukee and whatnot. But it was something that was on my mind Saturday. I'm just sitting there in the house. I wasn't even sitting. I was pacing. Like, I was pacing back and forth in front of the TV. Like, why isn't Zach playing? I mean, I knew why he wasn't playing. But then it's like, y'all played a couple nights ago. So he's probably be playing. But if he wants to fight through this, I respect it. And I'm sure that for a player like that, that hasn't had a chance at real winning basketball, there's some scales here. He can look at it and say, yes, this maintenance thing that I'm doing might change the way that the Bulls look at me going forward, but I've never, ever, well, I shouldn't say ever, forever, ever, I've never been on an NBA team this good. He's been on an Olympic team, but I've never been on an NBA team this good. I've never had a chance to win like this. If I have to deal with a nagging knee injury and have to drag my hiney through the end of the NBA season to get me to surgery, so be it. I think that we all can respect that. And if that means for Zach that he might lose out on some money, I don't think he's going to get paid, but how he gets paid will be interesting. I'd be lying, though, if I didn't tell you I want to know what's really going on with that knee. Because remember, he went to go see a specialist, and then he was like, I feel better after talking to a specialist. And then the Bulls were like, we have a plan. I don't know if Saturday was in the plan or not. It just seemed a tad bit bizarre. because Cleveland's one of those teams that's trying to take away your home court advantage. So you would think that you would need everyone you can, and they didn't. Vooch played a great game on Saturday night. DeMar did DeMar-type things when he needed to and then didn't need to. DeMar had a rough night shooting the ball Saturday. He came up, was the second quarter where he started to explode. And then after that, it was like shaky. He's 9 out of 26 from the floor. That's where a guy like Zach could be really helpful, but they didn't need it because Vooch did his thing. He wasn't super efficient either, but he was getting touches in the paint. He was getting rebounds for them. You know who played great? I mean, I talked about Caruso. Io. Io was phenomenal. Because, one, you're asking him to guard Darius Garland and chase him around all night. 17 points for him in the game. The guy continues to impress.